We are in the middle of our new series, and I want you guys to have a chance to get the notes right there. So if you don't haven't done that with the app, please do so, because today we're going to bring it today, and we're going to be looking at a very special passage out of 1 Thessalonians. So we are last week our associate pastor Ben, he preached a great message out of 1 Thessalonians 5. So we're going to be in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 today. And so to begin that, let me just ask this question. Have you ever noticed just how fascinated some people are about the end of the world? You know? There's some people, like, you get online, you can go down the rabbit trail and go deep down and find some crazy stuff, some crazy beliefs about the end times. People are fascinated about it because it's a mystery. And it reminds me of when I was little, I was young, I was in middle school and high school, and this book series came out called Left Behind. Everybody remember that? Like, although there's 12 books, I read every single one of them. And then movies came out, and I remember it was like Kirk Cameron was the first one. Remember that? Left Behind movie. And so that was a good one. Then it went kind of sideways, and they made another one. Nicolas Cage starred in the next one. What in the world is that all about? And it was another Left Behind movie. And my view of how the end times is going to be is definitely, I would say, influenced by that book series, but a lot of people have a different views of it. And honestly, it doesn't matter what you believe about how it's going to happen, because the truth is Jesus is coming back. Okay. And that's really all we have to kind of wrap our minds around. And I hope that he comes really soon, because ever since he left this earth and he promised he's going to come back, ever since that happened, this world has been a hot mess, hasn't it? I mean, it's just kind of crazy. Whatever generation it's been or era, especially today, even with all the great things that happen, man, this world is a sinful mess. And I hope he comes soon. Honestly, that's why we celebrate moms so much and why we celebrate Mother's Day today, because moms are having to put up with that hot mess, okay? I'm talking about you, okay? You are the problem. And I am the problem. And moms are great because they love us through it all. And so let me ask this question today as we jump into today's message. When we think about the mess that we live in, how are we supposed to live in the middle of it? How are we supposed to live while we're waiting for Jesus to come back? In fact, that's kind of the topic of this series in 1 and 2 Thessalonians, bless you. It's living in light of eternity. How are we supposed to live in light of eternity? Last week, Ben, he talked about how you and I need to be ready for this scary day that's called the Day of the Lord. It's going to be a glorious day for some. It's going to be a really scary day for others. And it's a mystery. And honestly, it kind of stresses me out, because you're thinking, am I ready for that? I mean, what's it going to be like? Should I be overly thinking about it, or should I not think about it at all and just trust God? Like, I'm just kind of stressed out about all it. It reminds me of how Black Fridays used to be back before Amazon took over the world, okay? But before Amazon, you had to get your stuff on Black Friday. People would camp out at the store. And then when the doors would open, people would rush in. And you maybe have been there, or you've seen videos of it, and people go insane over a toy or a TV. And what happens in those stressful moments is that we default just to our instinct, which is me. It's all about me. And I don't care if your kid doesn't get a toy, my kid's getting the toy. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's all about me. But the Bible calls us to something different. The Bible says, look, it's not about you, it's about him. It's about God. And it's very hard to actually live that way when it seems like the world is falling apart. We naturally want to just think about ourselves. It reminds me of another stressful kind of story where things kind of went sideways. Several years ago, I took a youth group to Honduras on a mission trip. So it's a youth mission trip. It's like 20 of us, adults and teenagers. And it was not your typical mission trip, because this mission trip was also a leadership mission trip. So we're training the students to actually be in charge, and literally they were in charge. We got off the plane, we're in the airport in Honduras, and we looked around and said, which two of you all are in charge, and what do we do next? I mean, that's kind of scary. Like, we made sure they were okay. Like, you know, we weren't doing something crazy, but they were completely in charge. And these two students were in charge of all the food for the entire week. And so the first thing we did after we left the airport is we went to the grocery store in Honduras. And so they did a great job. They split everybody up into groups, and we had to get all the food for the entire week for everybody. And so I was even a part of a little group of like three of us, and we get our list. And I begin to look at that list, and it says, get all the groceries for lunches, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, all the groceries. And on that list, all it was hot dogs. I'm like, and it got worse, because all it said was two packages of hot dogs. And I was stressing out. I mean, like, I was just like, should I fix this? You know, I want to fix this. But look, if they don't learn from their mistakes, they're never going to learn, okay? And so I was like, so I went over to the leaders, and I was like, hey, is this accurate? And they're like, oh, yeah, it's going to be great. It's going to be fine and everything. I'm going, okay. And so we went over to where the hot dogs were. It took everything in me just to grab just two packages of hot dogs. And we put them in the cart, and we went, and guys, the whole week, that's all we ate. It was two packages of hot dogs. We were drinking hot dog water towards the end. That's all we were doing. It was rough. It was stressful. And these students, they didn't realize it, but they were actually leading in that moment, whether it was good or bad, okay? They were leading. And to think about it, you may not think that you are a leader, but you are. Every single one of us is leading in some form or fashion, because John Maxwell is a leadership guru guy. He says this about leadership. Leadership is influence, as simple as that. And when you influence someone, whether it's your kids, whether it's your coworkers, good or bad, you are leading. And so here's the big question for today. In light of eternity, thinking about the end times, what kind of leader am I? Now, the reason we ask that question is because that's actually exactly what Paul spent almost an entire chapter of 1 Thessalonians talking about. Leadership is that important. So you got your Bibles, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. We're going to look at it. We'll throw these up on the screen. But all we're going to do is we're going to kind of walk through some of the verses, and we're going to look at some leadership principles that Paul shares with us. Not just saying that this is how you should act, but he says, this is how we acted when we were with you. Paul was talking about how when he was in Thessalonica with this early church, him and his group of leaders, they said, this is how we interacted with you. Here's how we treated you. Here's the things we did. Here's the things that we didn't do. We can learn a lot from them. So let's start off in verse 2. Here's what he says. He says, our God gave us the courage to declare his good news to you boldly, in spite of great opposition. So it was not an easy situation, but they trusted in God in that moment, and they were sharing the good news with boldness. He says this, so you can see, look, we were not preaching with any deceit or impure motives or trickery, because that's how people got around back then. That's how they got up in this world. They would do those things. They said, look, we are different. We're not going to try to deceive you. We're just sharing with you the good news. For we speak as messengers approved by God to be entrusted with that good news. What they were doing as leaders was sharing the truth. And there's a great principle for us this morning, that godly leaders are just that. They are truth speakers. And that's so important in our culture today, because we live in a truth fluid culture. Like, you have your truth, I've got my truth, and we can just agree to disagree, and your truth is your own thing and your own way of life, and how you, your religious beliefs, your identity beliefs, and how you do your thing. And I got my way, and both those things can coexist, and everything's gonna be fine. But that's a very difficult way of living. It brings chaos to a culture, because there is only one truth, and it's not based on your feelings. It's based off of God's word. And the Bible records how, look, it's going to go weird towards the end, okay? In fact, Paul talks about it in 2 Timothy, and he kind of describes a lot of what's going on today. Here's what he says. He says, in the last days, look, there are going to be very difficult times, for people will love only themselves and their money, okay? Sounds like us. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, and ungrateful, and they will consider nothing sacred. They will be unloving, and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good. They will betray their friends, be reckless, be puffed up with pride. And this is a tough one. And love pleasure rather than God. They will act religious, but they will reject the power that can make them godly. That sounds so much like what our culture is today. And it all starts because we don't really know what truth is anymore. But really, truth is just realizing what is right. And it's under attack. And like I said before, it doesn't come from your feelings. It comes from God. And godly leaders recognize that. And so they put their feelings aside and they courageously share the truth. But they do it in God's way. You know how God shares the truth? He shares it in love. And so when you are sharing the truth, the gospel, the good news of that we are sinners and we need a savior, when we share that, what we're doing is we are sharing God's way with God's heart. We're sharing the truth, but in love. And that's what good leaders do. And here's the reason why good leaders do that. He goes on and says, because our purpose is to please God, not people. I'm just going to scratch people out here, okay? Our purpose is to please God, not people. He alone examines the motives of our hearts. Never once did we try to win you with flattery, as you well know. And God is our witness that we were not pretending to be your friends just to get your money. We were not trying to use you or abuse you. He says, as for human praise, we have never sought it from you or anyone else. He says, look, human praise is not what it's all about. And that cuts really deep because that's what we desire, like deep down inside, every single one of us. We want approval, we want recognition. And every one of us has been guilty of telling people what they want to hear because we want them to like us. We want them to accept us. But godly leaders are different. What godly leaders are thinking about is, does this please God? Not do people like me because of it. So the great principle for today from that passage is that godly leaders are focused on the right thing. They are focused on the glory of someone greater. And that glory is not the opinion of other people. It's not self-gratification or puffing yourself up. It's saying, God, are you pleased with me? It's how we parent. Most of us do parent that way. You don't even realize it. Because sometimes the most loving thing that you can do to your kid is you tell them no, right? And the reason we tell our kids no is because we don't want them to be happy. You know what I'm saying? That's not true. Okay. The reason we tell our kids no is not because we're not trying to raise happy kids. We're trying to raise godly kids. Okay. And so they need to hear the truth. They need to know what is right. They need to know what is wrong. It's important to do that. And as parents, without realizing it, that's what we're doing. We're thinking about the glory of someone greater. God, are you pleased with how I'm parenting my kid? Speaking about parenting, Paul goes on and gives an example of parenting. He says this. He says, we were like a mother. I'm going to put a heart here because it's Mother's Day. Okay, boop, right there. Okay, so mother. Look, we were like a mother feeding and caring for her own children. This is how he treated you, okay? We love you so much that we share with you not only God's good news, but our own lives too. Moms are incredible leaders. And the reason moms are incredible leaders is because they see something in us. Moms see people not as they are, but as they can be, you know? I mean, you're looking at your baby and you're nursing your child and you're raising your child. I mean, honestly, they're pretty worthless, okay? I mean, just that's what little babies are. That's what little kids are. But man, you see that potential in them. And so you're willing to sacrifice for them. You're willing to do whatever it takes to make sure, excuse me, they can reach their potential. I think about my mom, from when I was little, she saw this potential in me and she has been pouring into me. In fact, I'm 43 and she's still pouring into me. I think it's because she realizes I haven't reached my potential yet. So, moms do that. No matter how old you are, if your mom's still around, they're pouring into you because they see great potential in you. And the lesson here, thinking about how moms are great leaders, is this, that godly leaders, what we do is we act like moms. We care for others like the best caregivers do. Think about how moms sacrifice for others. Great leaders do the same thing. Great leaders see people worth investing in. Great leaders see people worth protecting. Look, that's biblical leadership. when you're willing to make that kind of sacrifice. I mean, you may, in this room, some of you guys are like, yes, a leadership message. I feel like I'm a leader, okay? You may be a leader because of your position. And your position has given you this authority, whether it's good or bad. But look, that is not what makes you a godly leader. Your position and your authority does not make you a godly leader. You know what makes you a godly leader? Christ-likeness. Living in that position, living with that authority, and understanding I need to be like Christ in that situation. And what did Christ do? He gave himself for those that he led. He said, I'm a sacrifice for you. Paul recognized it and said, I want to be like that. He goes on in verse 9 and says, don't you remember, dear brothers and sisters, how hard we worked among you? Night and day we toiled to earn a living so that we would not be a burden. Look, we did not want to be a burden to you, to any of you, as we preach God's good news to you. He's like, hey, as leaders, we did not want to put that stress on you. When was the last time you gave someone a piggyback ride? You remember that? No? Some of you guys, it's been a long time. Like, you got too many artificial joints, you know? I can't even think about the last time I gave someone a piggyback ride. How about, when was the last time someone gave you a piggyback ride? You know? I mean, probably like some of you guys, I can't even think back that many decades, the last time that happened. And it's kind of nostalgic. I mean, a piggyback ride, so you get on someone's back and they carry you, to another location, right? I mean, that's the simple, basic form of a piggyback ride. And that's what he's kind of talking about. He's saying, look, we did not come to your city and then just put all this burden upon you and you have to carry us. Look, we carried our own weight. And that's what godly leaders do. Godly leaders absorb pressure. They take that weight. They absorb pressure instead of creating it. That's what they do. I've owned lots of different used cars, okay, lots of them. Some I even forgot about because they were just terrible. But there's one that I still remember. When I was 19 years old, I inherited, my grandfather passed away, and I inherited this old brown from the 80s, this old Oldsmobile car, four-door, boxy. It just had that old steering wheel that had like the finger grooves in it. You know what I'm talking about. Like, it was just old car. It had this big bench seat, and it was so comfortable. It was like you're in your living room driving, you know, just so comfortable. And I remember, I don't remember much, but I still remember driving down the road, no matter what bump I hit, that thing just, it just glided. It kind of floated. And it was awesome. It was like driving on a waterbed. It was weird having those kind of shocks. And that's what a leader does. A leader takes pressure off of other people so that those people don't have to have that kind of pressure. But look, unhealthy leadership is completely opposite. Unhealthy leadership is demanding. Unhealthy leaders, they drain the life out of people. They're self-serving. Some of you guys are like, that's my boss right now. You know what I'm talking about. You know those kind of people. You've had a coach like that. You've had someone in a position of authority and they took advantage of that position. And they were not being a godly leader. They were living just based off of their authority, not off of Christ-likeness. So where did Paul get that example? Well, Paul got that example from what Jesus said. In fact, before I turn there, Jesus was in a situation where his disciples, man, they were like, we got to position ourselves for what's coming next. And they said, Jesus, can I be the greatest? Another one's like, hey, no, Jesus, can I be the greatest? Like, oh, pick me, Jesus. And here's what Jesus said. Brutal. He said, whoever wants to be a leader, look, I want to be a leader. I don't know about you. I love leadership. It is my thing. I love the idea of influencing other people, especially in a godly way, trying to point people to Jesus. Look, whoever wants to be leader among you must be your servant. That's weird. That's backwards. That's not how the world is supposed to work. That's how Jesus' kingdom works. And he said, look, you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first among you must be the slave of everyone else. Disciples, who wants to do that now? All of them, you can imagine, just kind of put their hands in their pockets and like, never mind. I'm good. And Jesus says, look, I'm not just going to tell you this. I'm going to show you. He says, for even the Son of Man, talking about himself, came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. Look, his leadership, Jesus' leadership, cost him dearly. Let me just say this. If your leadership, whether you are a mom, a parent, a sibling, a coach, a teacher, a CEO, or wherever, you're a business leader, if your leadership costs everyone else but you, it's not biblical leadership. You're backwards. You're abusing people and using people to make much of yourself. And that's not what Jesus did. So speaking of biblical leadership, I think it's important just to kind of take a little time out and kind of look at the church. How should the church be when it comes to leadership? And one of the things that we like to say around here, and this is something that it's actually the title of today's message, is just this simple phrase that kind of defines what leadership is like here at Central. And it's this, that leaders eat last around here. Okay? This is not my phrase. It comes from Simon Sinek, a leadership guru in business who wrote a book called Leaders Eat Last. But what it's talking about is that as leaders, look, we don't protect our own egos. We don't try to elevate our own positions. We're not trying to build pedestals so that we can stand on and say, everybody serve me and look at me. No, there is only one name. Here at Central, there's only one name that is lifted high and on a pedestal. And it's the name of Jesus. And so our commitment to you as a staff and as volunteer leaders, people that have influence here is this, that look, we're going to take the gospel seriously, but not ourselves. Okay? I mean, that's just the truth. Like we recognize that we got our own flaws. Look in the mirror and say, man, there's something wrong with me. In fact, I don't know if anybody wants to follow me. I just want to make much of Jesus. And you can hold us accountable to that. People often ask us, it's one of the questions that a lot of people ask when we're having like our Next Steps classes, our new members classes. They say, how does this place run? Like what? Who leads and who's in charge and how are decisions made? And just kind of tell you how that is that leaders are allowed to lead here. They are. But there is high accountability on top of leadership that is represented by people in this congregation that hold leaders accountable. And our leadership is based off of a team. We do things together. There's no one better. There's no one more important. And so here's what happens sometimes. People come and join and get involved in a church. And really what's happening is they're trying to find a place where they can make much of themselves. Whether it's on a staff or a volunteer leadership or whatever. And so look, if you come here to Central and try to build your little kingdom here, look, it's not going to go well for you. We're not going to make much of you. We're just going to make fun of you. Okay, amen to that? Like, I mean, that's what we're going to do, okay? Because we got to make fun of ourselves. People often say like, hey, pastor, you know, and I love that. I love the idea of them. I love the respect of that. But look, I'm just Clayton. Okay? And if you know me well, you're like, yeah, he's no one special. I gotta look at him, okay? Like, he's just Clayton. In fact, our staff, we like to make sure that we are holding each other accountable to making sure we're not making much of ourselves. And here's the problem. I've got an issue. I send too many pictures to the staff of myself and like doing stupid stuff, and they save them. Like I should learn my lesson, okay? And so they'll send weird stuff back to me on occasion. Like this is one that Mindy, our kids minister, she just sent me this. It's just to remind me. It says, "Hey everybody, look at me, the centaur of attention." Okay, and so she put my face on that just to remind me, Clayton, you're no one special, right? Which is great because I am not. And it also, I was thinking about this other picture. In fact, Noah's in this service. You're gonna love this one. We save pictures and show each other things like this. Look at that sucker. Man, look at those two handsome dudes. These old men. We're trying to be old men, old church men, right? Honestly, that looks more like leaders eat first than leaders eat last. But you know what I'm talking about? But that look, here's the point. We're not fallen humans here. We're not puffing ourselves up. Leaders eat last. Jesus is first. If you want to be first here, you got to be a servant of all. Just like Jesus came, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. And here's the big truth. There are way better leaders here at our church than me. I feel like one of my jobs is just to surround myself with people better than myself, okay? So that we can move forward serving Christ, serving his body, trying to stay as humble as we can, holding each other accountable to that humility, okay? Don't take pictures of that, please, okay? No, it's fine. Okay. It's because of Jesus and who he is, and we want to be like him. But look, we are not the only leaders here. Every single one of us, we have influence of other people. And so I want to challenge you to hold yourself to that standard. Not that standard. That standard, okay? That's bad, okay? Not that standard. That's terrible. Sorry, Noah. Hold yourself to that standard. At home, moms, dads, big sister, big brother, grandparents, you have influence. Are you living that out? Are you living in such a way where you can say, you know what? It's not about me, it's about others. How can I serve them today? Those of you at work, you're an executive, you're a CEO, you're an owner, you're a salesman, you're a great coworker, an employee. How are you living your life in front of other people? You influence them, whether you realize it or not. And your influence matters. Because the kingdom of God matters. Because the end is coming and people's lives matter. Are you pointing people towards Jesus or away from them? Honestly, that's why all of this matters, why we're talking about this. That's why Paul spent so much time in 1 Thessalonians talking about leadership when he could have talked about all sorts of other things as they were waiting for the end to come. The reason it's so important is because Jesus is coming back. And every single one of us are going to have to bow both of our knees, whether they're fake or not, okay? Every single one of us is going to have to bow both knees in front of Jesus. And what happens is when we forget about that, we forget about that he's coming back, and he's going to hold us accountable to how we influenced other people. When we forget about that, what happens is we begin to think a little bit too much about ourselves. Begin to live for ourselves. We get to live for our comfort. We begin to build our little kingdoms in our lives. And everybody else is just a bit player in my life. But here's the truth. Look, we're not kings here. We're ambassadors. And ambassadors live differently. Ambassadors live for the one that they represent. We have one chance to make our lives count. How are you doing? In fact, Paul kind of sums it all up in this last verse, verse 12, he says this. Here's what we did when we were with you. We pleaded with you, encouraged you, and urged you to live your lives in a way that God would consider worthy. I want that to be my life. God, the things that I do, how I treat people, the position that you have allowed me to serve in, I want to love people like Jesus loved people. I want to serve people like Jesus served people. I want my life to be considered worthy and mean something. He says this, for he called you to share in his kingdom and his glory. Look, if leadership is influence, then godly leadership is influence with a servant's heart. Just like Paul, who said, imitate me as I imitate who? Jesus. And Jesus, I love this about him. He didn't just teach that leaders eat last. You know what Jesus did? He showed it. He lived it. At the cross, Jesus didn't take the best seat. He took the worst seat for us. By hanging on our cross, dying our death to pay for our sins. He didn't preserve himself, he gave himself. And so if you want to be a great leader, here's the one truth that I know that we need to live by, is we need to realize that starting in leadership is all about following somebody else, and that's Jesus. He's our example. So moms, dads, everybody in this room, how are you living your life? What kind of influence are you being towards the ones that you love the most? And everybody that God puts in your life. It matters. Because he's coming back someday. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for speaking to us today. Thank you for your love for us. Despite all of our faults and mess ups and failures. And God, I just pray that here at our church and in our homes that we can lighten up a little bit, make fun of ourselves a little bit, that our lives would not be about making much of ourselves, would be about making much of you. Jesus, you're everything. May we become less as you become more. May you rightfully sit on the throne of our hearts, the throne of our egos, the throne of our passions, the throne of our leadership positions. I pray, God, we can celebrate the ways that we are leading well. That's amazing. Think about so many people in our church who I want to be like. Their servant attitudes, their love for others. But God, we also know that if we're just to be honest, whether we're a middle schooler or 85, a lot of times it's all about us. We use people, we manipulate people, we think we're better than them. And Jesus, your words are true back then and they're true today, that if we want to be leaders, if we want to influence other people, we must serve them just like you served us and gave your life for us. I pray, God, for anyone in this room, anyone listening online who has never received that gift of Jesus's death to pay for their sins, I pray that today they may say yes to you, repent, turn from their sin, and put their faith in you to save them. That they would go and tell somebody and tell the church so that we can come alongside them and help them to walk like you walked, to love people like you love people, and to serve them well. God, may the joy of our lives not be about making much of us, but be about making much of you. You are worth it. Thank you for all that you give to us. We want to give that back to you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.